change that dial. Direct from WGBB, it's time for...
Listen up! Jesus is on the air!
Hear it all, sweet Jesus. Flows as a gentle breeze.
I can't. I have to talk.
Come on.
I'm sorry.
You're a good guy.
You know, in all due respect to Al and everything else, I gotta talk over the music. I'm so used to it. I can't stop myself. I'm hooked into it.
And that's Dr. John Palmer going into a tantrum, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo.
Mr. Cool.
Oh, sure.
Mr. Anthony Cool.
Sure.
Not Anthony Chiffo. Anthony, he never loses it.
And he never stops. And their singing is that our dear friend, love him dearly, Al Barbarino.
I'm not so sure he thinks about us.
No, he's going to be doing a talk on September 18th at St. Catherine of Siena. And he's going to talk about the precious First Amendment right of freedom of religion.
It is such a timely topic, and he's the perfect speaker. When is that going to be?
September 18th, Tuesday night, at St. Catherine of Siena in Franklin Square. In the Siena Center.
At 7:30 at night.
7:30 in the evening.
And
you know, Al is not only a tremendous singer, but he's a powerful speaker. And he's got love in his heart for Jesus, Mary, and the church.
And he's right.
And he's right.
On top of that.
Yes.
Although there was one time I thought he made a big mistake. You know what that was? When he recorded the song for this show.
The guy gets
nothing but abuse from us every time out.
I love this song. By the way, we also should mention, I don't want to get too involved, but we also mentioned, and we haven't mentioned it in over a year, the song was written by Paul Val.
Okay.
And he wrote it especially for our show.
And we had Paul on the show.
And we had him on the show, and we had the musicians on the show that played the music for the song, and it was written especially for us.
You know, somebody asked me this morning, who's going to be your guest on tomorrow's show? We're recording this on Friday before Saturday. And I said, Mary. And they said, Mary who? And I said, Mary. I said, there's only one Mary. Oh, come on. How are you going to get Mary on your show? I said, well, Jesus is her son, and we tell people, listen up, Jesus is on the air. And Mary said she's going to talk to us today, talk to the listeners, but through us, of course. And listeners, that's exactly what's going to happen. Listen up, get your ears all unglued, sit down. We have a lesson for you today that's going to defy any lesson you've ever gotten in your life.
And Mary's our guest.
She is. And we're talking about preparing ourselves and you listeners for a total consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. That's about as Catholic as you can get. And through that consecration, an additional consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. You go through Mary to get to Jesus. And that's what Catholics do. We don't worship Mary. We follow her, we imitate her, and we surrender to her and through her to her son. That's what we do.
And Mary eventually brings you to Jesus. And do you know, I firmly believe that she's so favored by our Heavenly Father and by Jesus that I believe there is nothing they would refuse her if she asked, and when she asked.
And that's really promised in so many people who have devotions to Mary, the various people, saints who have been devoted to Mary. They say, you pray to her and let her intercede for you. And how can her son refuse his mother?
He never refused his mother when they were on earth. And we know the wedding at Cana, when Mary said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And she wanted him to take care of the wine. And he says, you know, it's not my time. But then he he listened.
You know, I'd like to start moving into Mary by that song, Hail Mary, Gentle Woman. It's such a lovely expression of what we believe.
Press the right button.
I did. I'm very good at that, you know. In case you don't know that, that's my favorite Marian song.
Oh, you tell me all the time.
I love it.
Yeah, I love that song. And it's Mary.
And you know what, too? It gives listeners a chance to get their cup of coffee and to sit down and relax, because we have some lessons we want to teach today. Why don't you tell the listeners about St. Louis de Montfort and how he really moved into this consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary?
You know, St. Louis de Montfort was a great French missionary and a preacher. But being said, within his heart, he felt a tremendous urge to make our Lord Jesus and his Holy Mother loved, to go and show how humble they both were and how loving they both were and how closely connected they are. They are, they're connected.
He had her in umbilical cord.
That's right. And I'll steal one of your statements. And Mother Teresa said that no Mary, N-O, no Jesus.
Right.
And no Mary, K-N-O-W, no Jesus.
And that's what this consecration's all about.
To get closer to Mary, to get closer to Jesus through Mary.
That's right.
And that was St. Louis de Montfort's burning urge to find out a way he could get, or people could get closer to Mary. And so, as I said before, he was a great French missionary and a preacher, and he had that burning, with a deep burning desire and genuine zeal for the renewal of the church through rigorous proclamation of the gospel. He was a gospel man. And rightfully so, because there's so many lessons in the gospel, and there's so much that we can get out of the gospel, the God's word, and it's our way, it's God's way of telling us how he wants us to live. And so he deeply believed in that. And for him, the secret of effective proclamation of the gospel and the secret of authentic living of the gospel are one and the same. And the name of this secret, this big secret, is Mary.
That's right.
And she was a gift.
Mm-hmm.
She's favorite. She was a gift of God. And Mary gave us God's other gift, Jesus. So we're blessed with two wonderful gifts.
You know, I always think of Mary as being so open that she could get filled up with the Holy Spirit and bring Jesus physically into the world. And isn't that what we're all called to do?
Yes.
Get so filled up with the Spirit.
And
that we bring Jesus to the world.
This secret, Mary, that he felt so deep in his heart, is because he feels that Christian life, fully and truly lived, is nothing less than a radically powerful and intimate participation in the life of Jesus himself, who is our Savior, and our love.
Yeah.
Loves us so dearly. He left. Think about it. This is not St. Louis de Montfort. This is Dr. Anthony Chiffo. He loved us so dearly that he left heaven, the most wonderful place in the world, in creation, heaven, to come down and to save us. So that's the greatest love story ever told.
And if you go a little further, Mary risked all the ridicule and to be stoned to death to allow the Spirit of God to plant the seed of Jesus in her physically. And it's her yes,
right,
that brought Jesus to the world.
And Father de Montfort insisted that full participation in the life of Jesus demands and requires a relationship with Mary.
That's right.
And therefore, those who truly sought to grow into the full maturity of life in Jesus Christ could find no more or no less of a reliable means of doing so than by surrounding ourselves fully into the care of the great Mother of God in the same way that our Lord himself has done, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very position of an infant child.
And you know, Tony, in the consecration that Louis de Montfort put together, Saint Louis, I shouldn't say Louis, but that he put together, he just had two movements that had to happen. The first one was to get a look within ourselves at how the spirit of this world has gotten to us. And then secondly, once we expunge as much of the world of man as we can, we come to know ourselves more fully, we come to know Mary more fully, and then we come to know Jesus more fully. And he laid it out in 33 days of prayer.
Absolutely. And he recognized the simple truth, simple elements that you just spoke about as the foundation of bringing us to Mary and to Jesus and for our salvation. And so he was so convinced that of this, that for nearly three centuries before the Second Vatican Council's sustained development of the universe was called to holiness of all faithful, he could bodily assert to those who turned to him for guidance. And his guidance was, choose your soul through Jesus.
And that's what we do. And you know, listeners who may not be Catholic may think we're doing it a little bit too much and focusing on Mary as we are. But listen, if I have somebody who is all powerful like God the Father, and he was also the Father of Jesus, and Jesus is the Son of God, and I don't feel so strong about going before them, why not go in the back door through Mary and let her intercede for me?
Or if you have a problem get yourself getting through Jesus, Mary's the perfect avenue to go to Jesus. Perfect.
You know, Tony, I know you got a little bit more there, but I want us to get into the actual, what a day is like in prayer for the consecration. Go ahead.
Well, the consecration is not just the word. You know, the Montfort, St. Louis de Montfort, didn't just make a word consecration to Mary. He developed it, and he worked on it. And it's actually a procedure.
A way of life.
A way of life.
Yeah.
But it's a procedure that you go through to develop that consecration slowly. It's not that you say, and if you read the book, it's not that you say, I'm consecrating myself to Mary. No, you're going to go through the process of consecrating yourself to Mary.
You know what I liked about the book and about the whole process that's in the book? And we're talking about a book by Father Hugh Gillespie, who's at the Montfort Center out in Bayshore. Mm-hmm. And you can always go out there and attend some of the Wednesday night masses that he has out there. However, there are so many lovely prayers in there, Tony.
Oh.
And every day you start with a set prayer. And we have the Come Holy Spirit.
Gorgeous.
And we have a prayer to the Holy Spirit. And then we have another, I can't remember the third prayer, but if we look at some of those prayers, nice. And even just do some of it now,
oh, absolutely.
We might find it worthwhile.
Can I just take an extra minute and finish up quickly about the Montfort? Because there's an important thing I did want to bring out about him. He devoted all his energy of his vocational life to living and proclaiming a true devotion to Our Lady as the most powerful and direct means of becoming fully mature in the spirit of Jesus Christ. And this true devotion to the Blessed Virgin that St. Louis de Montfort proposes is a path of radical self-surrender to the Almighty that he calls total consecration. And he's saying simply, given ourselves totally in its entirety to the Blessed Mother.
And you'll find Jesus.
Yes.
And you'll find Jesus.
Okay. I said what I had to say. Say what you got to say.
Good. Well, I'd like the listeners to try to work with us through an experience of what a day might be like if you were involved in this consecration, this whole process. And I'm going to put a little music on in the background, and we're going to start with the opening prayers to be said each day. And Tony and I will take turns with some of the prayers that are read. And see, if, Tony, if we can just move slowly but surely through one day in this consecration and see what, if the listeners can get a feel for it. All right?
Fine.
So let's give it a try. Every day opens with an invocation of the Holy Spirit. Why don't you read that?
Well, the first day's invocation is simply, Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Lord, send forth your Spirit, and you will renew the face of the earth. O God, who instructs the hearts of your faithful with the light of your Holy Spirit, make us responsive to his inspirations so that we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? Bringing the Holy Spirit and then saying the prayer that we surrender and get ourselves in the mood.
Isn't it peaceful?
It is. I can feel
you
the
know,
peace.
It calms me down. I'm me a very too. Excitable guy.
You are?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Pass me up with your car, you'll see.
Okay. But then he has a required prayer during the first several days of Jesus living in Mary. Why don't you read that, Tony?
Okay. O Jesus, living in Mary, come and live in your servant, in the spirit of your holiness, in the fullness of your gifts, in the perfection of your ways, in the truth of your virtues, in the communion of your mysteries. Subdue within me the power of flesh and demon by your Holy Spirit, for the glory of God the Father. Amen.
And then you were all set up. And you're right, I can feel the presence and the peace that would work within me. Because in starting to do the show, my mind was all over the place. You know that.
Oh, yes.
My mind usually is all over the place anyway.
But you always wind up with a good show.
Yeah, but when you just say those couple of prayers and you take a few minutes to set aside that time just to be with Jesus through Mary, you get peace.
That's right.
And they have some wonderful prayers in here. The first 11 days are spent renunciating the spirit of the world of man and getting rid of all the stuff that really and truly ruins us. And so that he has prayers that will lead us so that we're not going to go through all of them. We just don't have the time to do that. But every now and then, he puts in some beautiful prayers. And one that really affected me was a prayer to St. Augustine. And I'd like to read that one now because it's such a powerful prayer. It's Jesus that he's talking to, but it's the prayer of St. Augustine. O Jesus Christ, you are my Father, my merciful God, and my great King, my good shepherd, my only master, my best helper, my beloved friend of overwhelming beauty, my living bread, my eternal priest. You are my guide to my heavenly home, my one true light, my holy joy, my true way, my shining wisdom, my unfeigned simplicity, the peace and the harmony of my soul, my perfect safeguard, my bounteous inheritance, my everlasting salvation. My loving Jesus Christ, why have I ever loved or desired anything else in my life but you? For you are my God. Where was I when I was not in communion with you? From now on, I direct all my desires to be inspired by you and centered on you. I direct them to press forward, for they've tarried long enough, to hasten towards God, to seek the only one that they yearn for, Jesus. Let him who does not love you be accused and filled with bitterness. Gentle Jesus, let every worthy feeling of mine show you love, take delight in you, and admire you. O God of my heart and my inheritance, Christ Jesus, may my heart mellow before the influence of your Spirit, and may you live in me. May the flame of your love burn in my soul. May it burn incessantly on the altar of my heart. May it glow in my innermost being. May it spread its heat into the hidden recesses of my soul. And on the day of my consummation, may I appear before you, consumed by your love. Amen. That's pretty heavy stuff.
That's most beautiful.
Isn't that? And that was St. Augustine, written hundreds of years ago.
What was he saying? What was he saying in this prayer?
Jesus, take over everything in my life.
You're everything.
That's it. And there's nothing else. And I don't know if he went through the consecration to Mary, but St. Louis de Montfort thought that that prayer was powerful enough to be included in the week that you spend on Jesus in prayer. You know?
And it certainly is.
It is. And, you know, we're going to have Father Hugh Gillespie on at another time. I called him, but he couldn't make this show. But we'll get him on another time. But that whole process. Now, we're talking about some of the opening prayers in a day. But we have so much more that we can go through. We'll go through a day, because each day has scripture and then a quotation from Louis de Montfort. And it really is very special. We hear the song playing in the background, Immaculate Mary. Mm-hmm. We give our hearts to you. See, and I'm trying to, with all that we're doing, to unite going through Mary to Jesus. Such a powerful route to follow.
But, and as you said, it has scripture. It has prayer, powerful prayer. But you know what? It invites you. This is what I found. It invites us to talk to Jesus in different ways and on different subjects.
And to surrender
and
to
him. And to surrender to him. It's a total surrender of love.
That's right.
And communications.
Right.
And it's like a slow process.
It's what John Michael Talbot wrote in the Magnificat when he said, My soul. Listen, oh my gosh, he's here. Can you believe it?
I thought I felt the song coming on. You led me to it, Father.
And my spirit. From age to age.
You know, Tony, if listeners do this, they can really just play music in the background, say the prayers, and go through
Absolutely.
A particular exercise for the day, as we're going to do now. We're going to go through day 6, and this is the week in day 6 where they're consecrating or finding out more about Jesus. Let's wait for this song to end, and then we'll move right in.
I just want to preface this. If you're listening with your spouse, your better half, you may want to sit and hold hands. I found, as a matter of fact, in the last week or two when we recorded the show and Joan and I listened, we literally sat and held hands and listened to the show. And this is the perfect scene to sit and hold hands.
Okay. So why don't
but
you...
But don't hold my hand, Paul.
No, I won't.
Okay.
But, you know...
I shook you up. Huh?
Yes, you did. I'm all worried now. But there's okay. scripture, and there's a quote from Louis de Montfort, yes. and each day. So after those opening prayers, this is what the scripture would be for day 6 of the yes. week devoted to Jesus.
And his thought was, I must humble myself before the Lord. And the scripture for that, for this day, is Luke 18:9-14. He also told this parable to some who turned in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men, extortionists, unjust, adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes to all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house and justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted.
Isn't that beautiful? And it's so hard to do. The one thing I found, Tony, I am so proud of my humility.
Oh, I?
Well, but it's so hard to get into that mode where you don't control God and yes. you let God control you.
I journaled on this scripture.
Yeah.
And I found, as I was journaling, that there's a lot to be desired about me, you know, that I need to improve and I need to show a little more humility and a little more being humble and not to think that this was the biggie. Not to think that everything I did or do for religion or God is such a tremendous thing that I should be really proud of. No, we can. And I got this through journaling. We can never do enough for God, our Lord, our Savior, who saved us from hell.
That's right. And I was kidding when I was saying I was proud of my humility, but sometimes that happens. You really get, oh, look at all I've been doing for God. And actually, I got it backwards. He did it all for us.
And that's what I got when I journaled on the scripture.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Look what I did for you.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And listeners, if you go through this book by Father Gillespie and you get the scripture and you start thinking about it, you cannot help but learn to be honest within yourself, because the Spirit's there teaching us. I want to read Louis de Montfort's talk.
He's got some thoughts, yes.
Yeah, Louis de Montfort said, in going to Jesus through Mary, we are really paying honor to our Lord, for we are showing that because of our sins, we are unworthy to approach His infinite holiness directly on our own. We're showing that we need Mary, His Holy Mother, to be our advocate and mediatrix with Him, who is our mediator. We're going to Jesus as mediator and brother, and at the same time humbling ourselves before Him, who is our God and our judge. In short, by going through Mary, we are practicing humility, something that always gladdens the heart of God. You know, these are real chestnuts here, real treasures for people to look at and to say, wow, that's important for me to approach my life that way. And as I do, I'll find that I'm more alive in the love of Jesus. Isn't that something?
It's absolutely astonishing how these scriptures actually lay out how God wants us to live our lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you read scriptures and you read the Bible and you listen to the Gospels, there's a whole plan laid out for you on how to live your life and save your soul.
And what you have to do is answer the question, why is a genuine humility such an important virtue for spiritual life?
So why, Palmer?
Well, it's because you're saying, hey, Lord, be it done unto me according to your will. And that's what we all have to learn. God's in charge, not us. And we go through Mary and we talk to Jesus through Mary, and we talk to God the Father and the Holy Spirit. They're all, the whole family is there waiting to hear us say those words. And the words are, be it done unto me in according to your will. You know, Tony, if there was ever a song written about that, I would love to find it and play it. What do you think?
I think you can find it.
You think so?
Give it a shot.
What do you? Be it done unto me in accord to your will. Listeners, are you getting our commercial yet? Are you getting what we're saying? Give it up. Give it up. Let God take over. He knows better than you what you need.
Be it done unto me.
That's what a day is like. You say the opening prayers, you get scripture, you get St. Louis de Montfort, and you get a question to journal on. So simple.
And through that, those scriptures, and through those prayers, and through that journaling, the question that makes you think, and through the journaling, it actually does draw you closer and closer to the Blessed Mother, and closer to Jesus.
And it does. And I want to get the one more day in if we can. And I chose day 5 in the last week only because it really struck me that the scripture was from Isaiah, mm-hmm. 600 years before Jesus.
Amazing.
And then St. Louis de Montfort in whatever, 1600, both saying the same thing, but yet differently. Isn't that amazing?
Well, it's all the scriptures are amazing. The Old Testament, believe it or not, speaks of Mary in many, many ways and in many places. And it's amazing. And that's God that laid everything out.
Let's move into that day 5.
Okay, do you want to read the
scripture? No, you read the scripture.
Okay.
You're good with the scripture, and I'm going to see if I can get music. You know me with my music.
Okay, don't interrupt me, though, while I'm reading.
I'll try not to.
Okay, so it's day 5, and the thesis of it is that Christ loves us to the extreme. Loves us so much that we can't even fathom how much he really loves us. We know what he did for us, but we need to fathom how much he loves us. So here's the scripture, Isaiah 53, 3-12. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he was borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him, stricken him, smitten him by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our inquisitions. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole, and with his stripes he was healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death. Although he had done no violence, there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to bruise him. He was put him to grief. When he makes himself an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. He will of the Lord prosper in his hand. He shall see the fruit of the travel of his soul and be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressions. yet he bore his sin of many and made intercessions for the transgressors.
You got me, Tony. That was written 600 years before Jesus.
Isn't
you notice Jesus' name is not mentioned,
there. But he was in those scriptures.
Yeah, and he lived out those scriptures. It just reinforces what I hear so many times. The Old Testament was prophetic, and the New Testament was actually the living out of that prophecy.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what Isaiah had in that particular passage. And it really struck me because then it got contrasted with what Louis de Montfort wants to say.
Well, let's hear what he has to say, John.
Okay. Reflect on the wounds and the sufferings of Christ crucified. He himself has told us, All you who pass by the way of thorns and the cross, look and see. Look at the eyes of your body and see through the eyes of your contemplation whether your poverty, destitution, disgrace, sorrow, desolation are like mine. Look upon me, who am innocent, and lament, you who are guilty. Holy Spirit tells us through the apostles to contemplate the crucified Christ. He bids us arm ourselves with this thought, for it is the most powerful and formidable weapon against our enemies. When you are assailed by poverty, disrepute, sorrow, temptation, and other crosses, arm yourselves with the shield, breastplate, helmet, and two-edged sword, which is the remembrance of Christ crucified. It is there you will find the solution of every problem and the means to conquer all your enemies.
So let's think about this. What's St. Louis de Montfort saying? What's he telling us?
He's asking us a question. Dedicate time today to making a thorough examination of your conscience, and to recognizing that your sins caused the suffering of Christ, and ask the Lord for a genuine horror of sin and its consequences. Go to confession before you make the act of total consecration. It's really an unbelievable set of exercises, and he wants us to interact with this book.
Absolutely.
Back and forth. And you can do it privately upstairs, hide out from the kids if you have to, and just interact with this stuff.
What is the resolution saying? It's saying that before completing your act of total consecration, through the process, the completing the act is completing the process, you must do it with a clean soul. A clean slate.
Mm-hmm.
What is he telling everybody? Go to confession before making the act. He's telling us that we present, so to speak, present ourselves to Mary, the Blessed Mother, in this total consecration. Present ourselves in a clean slate.
Honest way. I'd like to read the consecration before we run out of total time.
Please do.
All right, and we can go back and forth with this. O wisdom, eternal and incarnate, O most loved and adorable Jesus, true God and true man, only Son of the Eternal Father and Mary, ever Virgin, I adore you profoundly in the bosom and splendors of your Father during eternity, and in the virginal womb of Mary, your most worthy mother, at a time of your incarnation. I give you thanks that you have emptied yourself in taking the form of a slave in order to rescue me from the cruel slavery of the devil. Praise you and glorify you, that you have been pleased to submit yourself in all things to Mary, your most holy mother, in order to make me, through her, your faithful slave. But alas, ungrateful and faithless that I am, I have not kept the vows and the promises of my baptism.
I have not fulfilled my obligations. I do not deserve to be called your child or even your slave. And as there is nothing in me that does not merit your rejection and your anger, I no longer dare to approach your holy and august majesty by myself. This is why I have recourse to the intercession and mercy of your most holy mother, whom you have given to me as a matrix before you. And it is through her that I hope to obtain from you consecration and the pardon of my sins and the acquisition and preservation of wisdom.
I call to you, O Mary Immaculate, living tabernacle of the divinity, whose eternal wisdom is hidden and wished to be adored by angels and by men. I call you, O Queen of heaven and earth, to whose rule everything is subject that's under God. Call to you, O sure refuge of sinners, whose mercy fails no one. Fulfill the desires that I have for divine wisdom and for the end. Receive the vows and the offerings which my lowliness presents to you. I, John, unfaithful sinner, renew and ratify today in your hands the vows of my baptism. I renounce Satan, his pomps, and his work, and I give myself entirely to Jesus Christ, incarnate wisdom, to carry my cross after him all the days of my life, and to be more faithful to him than I have been until today.
I choose you today, in the presence of the entire heavenly court, to be my mother and my mistress. I hand over to you and consecrate as your slave my body and my soul, my goods, both interior and exterior, and even the value of my good actions, past, present, and future, leaving to you an entire and full right to dispose of me and of everything that belongs to me, without exception, according to your good pleasures, and for the greater glory of God in time and in eternity. Receive, O benign Virgin, this little offering of my slavery in honor of and in union with the submission that eternal wisdom designed to have to your maternity in homage to the power that the two of you have over this little worn and wretched sinner, and in thanksgiving for all the privileges which the Blessed Trinity has favored upon you. I declare that I wish henceforth, as your true slave, to seek your honor and to obey you in all things.
O admirable mother, present me to your dear son as his eternal slave, so that, having redeemed me through you, he may receive me through you. O mother of mercy, grant me the grace of obtaining the true wisdom of God, and so include me in the number of those whom you love, whom you instruct, whom you lead, whom you nourish and protect as your children and your slaves. O Virgin most faithful, make me in all things so perfect a disciple, imitator, and slave of incarnate wisdom, Jesus Christ, your Son, that I may come through your intercession and your example to the fullness of his age on earth and of his glory in heaven. Amen. Wow, Tony, that's the whole concept.
But look at the end. Look what it's asking you to do at the end. It's asking us to sign our name.
Yeah, with a witness.
With a witness.
And a place. You have to do it at a church. Amen. And that's the consecration. And Mary is Hail, Holy Queen, enthroned in heaven.
Absolutely.
Listeners, this was a little different radio show, but we hope you caught the drift. Get Father Gillespie's book.
Ye seraphim, heaven and earth.
see you all next week, listeners.
Thank you for listening. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for our petitions. And you, your listeners, you're in our prayers daily.
Amen.
Yeah.